are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listen to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. It's so great to be back. I didn't realize how long I was out for. Last episode I did was back in August. I wasn't really planning on taking any time off, but I just kind of really just been pressing into the Lord. The fire for the Lord is so strong right now that it's so strong that I stay in spiritual warfare. Like, the spiritual warfare is also the attacks of the enemy is just nonstop. All the way till, you know, now, like this morning. So it's not that I've really been super crazy busy, because I've been wanting to jump back on the podcast like so bad, and there's so much to really talk about. So much to really break down, and so much to that's going on in the world right now that I just kind of just really just been sticking with God, making sure I'm staying rapture ready, you know, and staying in my holy place with the Lord. And but, you know, I was about to crash out and call it a night, and I was like, you know what? I just really need to jump on here and just let my peeps know what's going on and how we're feeling and what we're getting into. But at the end of the day, you know, we're good. God is so good, and we're so blessed, and it's just I'm just really in an amazing point of my life. For everyone that doesn't know, and all the new listeners, I just approached my first year of being saved. And what does that mean, right? What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to see God moving in your life and see God working in your life? And this last year, so much God has just been present the whole time. Sorry, guys. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord, and you know, it's, you know, when you come to Christ, you know, you want to, and you get saved, and you got that fire, you want to let everybody know, you know, how God has blessed you and how he's moving in your life, and you want to see that in other people's lives as well. But reality is, not everybody's ready for that. Not everybody's ready to change their life for the Lord and pick up their cross and follow Jesus. And it's like, this last year has really opened my eyes and showed me that, you know, God has showed me that I need to come with a different approach when it comes to my family. A lot of my family members, you know, I'm trying to bring to Christ. And you know, I'm realizing through scripture that, you know, those seeds are planted. And everything is in God's hands. And when the time is right, God will move those mountains the way they need to get moved. For those who are struggling. But you just got to be patient. You got to be patient as long as you're planting those seeds. You know, everything will align the way it needs to align. What have I learned in this last year? Now that I'm finally in my first year of walking with Christ, you know, one, I've learned the spiritual warfare doesn't stop. It does not stop. It only comes more and more and more and more. And you know, the one thing I am grateful for is that I have the Holy Spirit to protect me. I have the sword of the Word of God to protect me, and I got all the equipment to keep me stepping on scorpions and serpents, and I'm not you know, the enemy is so sneaky, and he tries to come with different attacks over and over and over, and tries to set different snares for us to fall. And God is just so good that, you know, the Holy Spirit's there with me to help protect. And as long as you're walking with Christ and you're being obedient to God, like, you won't have a problem with it. That's one of the big things I've learned. You know, last night, I was telling my wife this morning, you know, I never, you know, my addiction, you know, when I was in part of the world, part of the secular world, was porn. My addiction was weed, alcohol, friends, women. Those have always been part of my addiction. And last night, you know, I was never like ever super hooked on coke, but you know, I used to do coke here and there. And when it came around, I was never a person to turn away from it. Was never addicted to it, but it was just never the person to turn away from it. And last night I had a dream. And I feel when we have dreams, that's where the enemy really loves to try to set snares and try to get us to fall. And I was in the middle of my dream last night, and I don't know how, but I came across a bag of coke. Not a whole lot of coke, just a good little baggie. I don't even know the sizes of coke or what that even looks like. But if I had to guess, it was probably like $100 worth or something like that. Somehow I came across it, and I was at my work. I was at a workplace. I don't even know what work. It wasn't even my job I was at, but I was at a job, and it was like in a hospital setting. And it was a packed hospital. It was some kind of hospital. I don't even know what kind of hospital it was, but it was just a packed hospital. But I worked there for some reason. And I just remember like trying to find a restroom to go use this coke in, like to go like get high and get that pleasure and that dopamine rush of using coke. And I was so excited when I had this coke in my hand that every bathroom that I would go to was so packed that I was never able to use the coke. And when I woke up, I just remembering to thank Jesus, because even though the enemy provided me with this trigger of something that I was used to never turning down in my flesh, God is so good that he didn't allow me to fall and stumble on that snare and use that coke in my dream, even protect me in my dreams. And that was just, God is just so good. God deserves all the praise. God deserves all the glory. That's how God moves in our lives. And a lot of times we take our dreams for granted, and we don't realize that's where God sometimes will speak to us in. And that just opened my eyes and just showed me that God is with me even when I'm sleeping. And a lot of times when I pray for God to protect me in my sleep, protect me in my dreams, because we all know how the devil works. The devil's gonna work and try to break you down and lie to you every which way is possible. And you know, in my dream, I couldn't help to fall to my flesh and want that coke. But yet, God protected me in my dreams to not allow me to to use that Coke, and I didn't even use the Coke in my dreams. And I'm just so thankful for our Lord. Another thing that I learned this year, you know, having the fire for God, you know, bringing my family to God, bringing my wife to God, her having the fire for God, and that's just completely changing that. The world's going to look at us strange. The world is going to look at us weird, and that's okay. It's okay, because when you're walking with Christ and you're becoming more Christ-like and more Christ-like every single day, we stop caring about what the world wants, what the world sees. You know, the world wants me back. The world wants my flesh back. The world wants me to be the old person I once was. And I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person anymore. And I'm sorry, world, that that's what you want. All the way down to like friends and family wanting me to be, you know, having, you know, family doesn't, I have family members that, you know, don't even talk to me anymore because, you know, I'm not there smoking weed with them anymore. I'm not a person, I don't judge them on smoking weed. You know, I want all my family to come to Christ and break strongholds, but, you know, I was delivered from a stronghold of a marijuana addiction for easily almost 15, 20 years of my life. And I battled with that. I remember times where I was trying to quit, and I couldn't quit. I always would fall back to it. The Lord just delivered me from that, like it was nothing. Just showed me how powerful and how great He is, how mighty He is. And you know, we have to be obedient. When the Lord delivers us, we have to be obedient, because that was a stronghold in my life that I had for the longest time. And I just remember having weed just sitting in my room, having a bong sitting in my room for months after I got delivered. And never did I ever feel the temptation to go back in that room and go use. I would go in that room for different things that I had in there. It was like my chill room. It was, you know, I turned it into a studio. But before, it was like the room that I went in to go smoke. And it was, and weed just sitting there, a bong sitting there. I was fully delivered from going and smoking, and having that, feeling that temptation of having to go smoke. And you know, I now got rid of all that stuff, and I realized that when God does things for a reason. And like I said, we just have to be obedient when God's moving in our lives, because, you know, it's when God's moving, that's when it's due to something that we're doing in our lives to be obedient to Him. He's gonna move and direct us, and we have to listen to our callings. You know, this year I got delivered by the Holy Spirit to have the gifts of being able to speak in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in the Holy Spirit. I got the gift to be able to hear God's voice, and listen, hear God when He speaks to me. And it's, you know, when we hear, you know, it's so hard to explain, but it's so amazing at the same time that we just truly have to pick up our cross and follow Christ when He's calling us. And you know, I'm not here to judge anybody or condemn anybody for a lifestyle that they're living. But God's gonna move differently for everybody. And when you see Him moving, you just gotta give Him your all. Because that's what He wants. That's what we're here to do, is to give God our all, so that, Because at the end of the day, Jesus gave us his all. He gave everything for us. He gave his life here on earth up for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be delivered from the things of this world and have the free will to live for him and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And so many people don't. But one thing I realized that when God's speaking to me, I must listen. I must be obedient. I was in church one day, and this is stuff that's all been happening in my life within the last 2-3 months. But I was in church one day, and this is even more recent. This is like maybe in the last month and a half, and God spoke to me. He spoke to me. And one thing I've talked about on this podcast before was a ministry that God's ministry that I want to start up. And, you know, I've looked into it, and there is some funding that goes with it that I'm just not at the position in my life right now to be able to fully fulfill. But and I don't have the covering from my church to fulfill that, because I haven't asked for that yet. And maybe with time that will all come. But I was trying to start a street ministry and outreach program, and that's still like high priority on my list of things I want to do. And it's not my ministry, it's the Lord's ministry, but I want to go. A skill that I have is I'm a great case manager. I'm great with outreach with those that are struggling with addiction and homelessness. And, I want to put a team together where we go hit the streets, we go hit the trenches, and we try to change lives and save lives and get people off the streets and teach them about the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We go try to heal the sick. We go try to cast out demons if we have to. We go break those chains and try to get people a better living and a better quality of life through our Lord and Savior. And but there's a lot of fees and there's a lot of direction that I'm still learning about. How to start up a nonprofit and all the paperwork that's involved and all the fees that are involved and you know, those things I'm still learning about. And like I said, I don't have the covering from my church to fully fund that, and I don't even know how to ask for that yet. But you know, just talking with God, I know it's gonna happen. I know that God is gonna provide, because God always provides. God's our provider. When we put it all in his hands, he takes care of everything. And so I'm not even worried about it. But God spoke to me in church one day, and I was, it was during worship, and we're worshiping, and God told me, like, you need to sell one of your possessions, something that I have of value to help fund my ministry, God's ministry. And, he told me exactly what it was that I needed to put forth so that we could fund it. And, it didn't really make sense to me at the moment. Cause it was in the middle of worship. And I was just praying, and God just came to me and I was trying to figure it out, like why? I get it. No, I get what, but it was like, I don't think that would even cover any, that would just cover a small portion. But then what happened was I went to, the way, and God talks to us, sometimes he talks to us through people, Sometimes he talks to us directly. Sometimes he talks to us through the Bible. But in this moment, he spoke to me directly. And then as I was questioning, trying to figure out, like, okay, I hear what you're saying, God. He spoke through me. He spoke to me through one of my friends. And I went to my friend's house to go drop off some fishing poles to let him borrow, that he was needing to borrow to go do some fishing with some of his buddies. But my friend he cooks plates and sells plates. And when I went over there to go drop it off, he had a plate ready for me. And he's doing all his prepping and cooking, and this was his hustle that he does regularly and has been doing for years. And I was like, dang, man, I need to get me another hustle going. I need to get me a hustle going, because I used to have hustles, of lately, I just kind of went just pressing to God. And I said that day, and then, went about my business. And when I got home, my wife was there, and we started talking, and she was like, I want to start a side business. And she told me that she wanted to buy these Cricut machines, buy a Cricut machine. And right there, it hit me, and God spoke through my wife. And that was the direction that God was showing me, that I needed to trade this possession and sell this possession so I can go buy these machines so that we can do something crazy with it. And so it dawned on me right there that's what God was telling me, is that I needed to sell. And if you want to know what I had guns that I had, that most gun owners would be like, you really traded guns for a Cricut machine? I did, because that's what God told me to do. And so I did trade one of my guns for a couple Cricut machines. God's been showing me ever since what I need to do with these machines to really get his word moving. And so I created a product that I'm putting out there that I hope does wonders for the kingdom. And so that was something that I learned this year, was that when God will speak to you through people, God will speak to you through different outlets, and we just have to be obedient to him, even if it doesn't make sense in the moment. What else did I learn? I learned that the big thing I learned is that we are the church. At the end of the day, we are the church. The church is us. The temple's in us. God lives in us. And we have to, don't matter what building that you go into that worship, at the end of the day, you are the church. And this is not a shot at my church at all. Like, I actually really enjoy and really love my church. But one thing I realized, that when you have the fire for God, you're going to start recognizing things in your walk. And one thing that I started recognizing is that every church is different. Every church is set apart. And some churches will teach some things, and some churches will teach other things. And sometimes, you can't be afraid to step away and move in a different direction. move in a different direction to be spiritually fed the way you need to be spiritually fed. And when you're reading the Word of God, like, and you're reading the Gospels, you're going to learn the how Jesus walked. You're going to learn how Jesus stepped into different cities, stepped into different places, different synagogues, and how he was perceived everywhere he went. And one thing I know is that if we live like Jesus lived, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're walking like Jesus walked. But one thing I'm learning is that not every church is teaching us. Not every church will teach you how to walk like Jesus, how to move like Jesus. What was Jesus doing in these other cities and these other places? And what was the will of Jesus? What was Jesus' will? What was the works that Jesus was doing? And that's what we're like in my church personally. Like, I see things that I'm reading about that I'm not seeing in my church. And I sometimes have to go to other churches to get this, to get fed this. And that's okay. It's okay to do that. But you want to make sure that you're being fed. You want to make sure that you're being fed all the way around. And if you have to go to another church to get fed like that, that's what you have to do. And, you know, if your church questions you on those things, then they need to either, one, change the way that they're doing things to feed you, to feed, or, you know, they just have to accept it. But that was something that I realized, me and my family realized, my wife, who's been so supportive on this walk, and I'm so proud of her because she's been so obedient to the Lord as well. But we realized that we sometimes have to go other places to get spiritually fed. And like I said, I love the church that we're at. I think there's a lot of great people there. I think our pastor is amazing. But there's some areas that I wish that he would study more on that I haven't heard. So I go to seek that at other places and follow different pastors that are teaching those things, like deliverance and fasting and you know, it's that's what we have to do sometimes. But, you know, I love being fed. I love being spiritually fed. You know, and I feel like, you know, we shouldn't just be going to church on Sunday to be fed. You know, we should be walking with Christ every day, every moment that we can, every moment. And, you know, my church recently moved from being a small, not a super small church, but a church of maybe 400 or 500 members to now being a couple thousand. So it moved buildings, and it's a lot bigger church now. And by doing that, they no longer offer church on Fridays, which I really enjoyed. Me and my family really enjoyed, because we used to go to the service on Friday, which would be the same service as Sunday, but I was able to take my kids to those services, my littler ones, and they were able to hear the Sunday service without having to, you know, because when they go to church on Sundays, they go to the kids center that, and, you know, do the kids church. But this was a chance for them to kind of see the worship band and just kind of hear the word from the pastor, which the pastor always has a great word. Never knocking that. I just wish that we had a Friday service and that's no longer there. Not saying that in the future, if we had enough members, that wouldn't open back up, but, you know, I miss I missed that schedule of Friday nights being in our town that I live in, having that option to go to church. And we were pretty obedient with going to church on Fridays. That now that I don't have that offering, I'm looking for that. And me and my wife are looking for that, either a Friday or a Saturday service that we can go to that's a good church that's just Holy Spirit felt, you know. And you know, we live kind of, you know, from the city, we live 40-50 miles, but we would drive 40-50 miles for that. And so that's something that we're kind of looking into now. I think we found a pretty good spot for that. And it's just every day we want to get fed by somewhere, you know. And so that's why I say, like, we have to be the church, is because when you're the church, you're doing those things. And you know, we've changed our living room up a little bit so that we can do a good Bible study there. We have a pray station in our living room for our kids so that, you know, we're teaching them to pray regularly. And just, you know, we're trying to be those great examples for them. At the end of the day, the inheritance that I want to give my kids that I never had is Jesus. None of my family, at least that I know of, has ever been given the gift of Jesus. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the gift of just going to church. I'm talking about the gift of inheriting Jesus Christ into your life, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing how that relationship works, knowing how to pray, knowing how to talk to the Lord and surrender it to the Lord and put your burden in the Lord's hands so that he can figure it out for you. Coming to the Lord. And I was never given that. My wife was never taught that. Even though we had family members that were highly involved in the church, but they didn't pass that down to us. They didn't install that in us. And that's something that I want to do for my kids. I want my grandkids to have that in their lives. You know, I don't have grandkids now, but, you know, I want that to be passed down from generation to generation. And, you know, looking at my life and looking at my family, I feel like that was a generational curse that my family has dealt with. You know, we've had generations in our family where we had all the resources to do something big, do something amazing with. And because we didn't have God in our lives, and that wasn't installed in the generations before me, those resources just got put to not good use. And I want to stop that in my family's life. I want to break that curse. I want to break those chains. And Jesus Christ is our chain breaker. Jesus Christ will break those chains, break those curses, break those generational curses, cast out those demons if needed. Jesus Christ has the power to do all that. And that's what I've been learning this year, is that there's chains that I had on me that I had to break. Now trying to get my family to hear this, about these chains, you know, it rubs them the wrong way every time I talk about it. But at the end of the day, you know, everything I went through in my life was because I did not have Jesus. I made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision all the way from my childhood. And so I don't want my kids that go through that. And some of my kids are even older now. Well, they're adults now, young adults. I have a daughter who's turning 19 this month. And you know, she's an adult now, like, and you know, I passed down the generational curse to her. I gave her that other link to that chain. I gave her the extra link to that chain to keep that curse going and going and going. And now I'm trying to come to her and tell her about the good news of Jesus Christ. She doesn't want to hear it. That's not what she wants to hear from her father. And I did a huge disservice to her not raising her with Christ, but I didn't have Christ to raise her with at the time. And I don't have the relationship that I had with her, for whatever reason, because the devil's a lie, and you know, made her feel a certain way, where now our relationship is not what it used to be. And this is my little girl who I raised from a baby. I raised her on my own, just me, her, and her brother for 10 years of their life, for the first 10 years of their lives. And, you know, trying to get her to come to Christ now is not an easy task. Trying to get her to pick up my phone calls and come hang out with the family and, you know, all those things is not an easy task. I did see her not that long ago, and I love her to death. And if she ever hears this, I want her to know that I love her to death. But baby girl, like, we, at the end of the day, we're all going to bow down to Jesus. Every single one of us. When that day is called on, when that day comes, and whether, you know, good or bad, we're going to be bowing down to Jesus. And so, you know, we want to be known for our good deeds. And Jesus is here now to, Jesus already did the work. The victory has already been won. But, you know, you don't listen to me and want to hear the good news, then you're going to miss out on that. And it's in a lot of our family is. But our family doesn't want to hear that from us. And that's a thing that I've also learned this year, is getting our family to come to Christ is sometimes a challenge. Sometimes it's easier to get a stranger off the street to listen to the good news that you have to offer than to hear it straight from your voice. Because our family knows us. Our family knew us when we were suckler. Our family knew my past and knew the suckler, silly, wicked stuff I used to do, where to see me new in Christ is, you know, it's almost like they're waiting for the downfall. They're waiting for the fire to burn out. They're waiting for and it's just like, not gonna happen, guys. Like, I pray every day for me to be, for me, myself, my flesh to decrease and for Jesus to increase. And I don't ever want to go back to the world. I don't ever want things of the world. I was a person that loved rap music, loved it to a point where I was worshiping Drake. I was worshiping Tupac. I was worshiping SPM. And now I pray for these guys to come to Christ. I pray for them because a lot of them are doing the devil's work. A lot of them are doing the devil's work and being deceived. And they're deceiving so many. I talked about this before, and I don't know if I ever talked about this on the podcast, but I definitely talked about this on TikTok that, I used to be a big, huge Kevin Gates fan, you know, went to his concert, would follow him on social media, and you know, I knew he was getting he was in a spiritual walk, you know, but you know, his music kind of changed and it wasn't what I was really listening to it was much anymore, but still was a dope rapper to me when I was a part of the world. And every now and then would come out with a banger that was just like, man, that's what I'm talking about. But, and I still have I used to have a lot of favorite songs that Kevin Gates had that I would listen to over and over and over again. But, you know, when I came on this walk, I stopped watching, I stopped listening to these rappers, and I stopped listening to rap music. And I used to follow a lot of rap news and all that, all the, you know, Vlad TV and DJ Academics and all those guys. But I had to let go of all that because it was just too suckler. They're doing the devil's work every single day, and they don't even know it a lot of times. But Kevin Gates in general, like, I listened to, there was a video on YouTube, because I love YouTube. I love being on YouTube, and that's where I get a lot of my ideas for my podcast from. I follow a lot of great pastors on there, but I was still tapping into some of these rappers and their lifestyles and whatever. But the video came across of Kevin Gates, and it was like Kevin Gates got the demon in him, was the title. And so I put this video on, and the narrator is a narrator that seemed like he was walking with God, but maybe not really aware of what he was showing us. And you know, he was showing us this video, and like I said, this is how the devil works. The devil's a lie, and the devil is going to deceive us any way that he can. And by using this guy who seems like a Christian narrator to show this video of Kevin Gates speaking in demonic fashion with another demon, which was manifesting through one of his fans on a live stream, that's just how the enemy works. That's how he deceives so many. But anyways, I was deceived. I watched this video, and right after, and in the video, in the beginning of the video, the guy says, like, make sure you say a prayer before and after, just, you know, as a precaution. And so I say a prayer before, I watch the video, and I watch these two demons speak to each other. One through Kevin Gates, the other through the fan. The demon that was in the fan, and a demon that was in his baby girl, his daughter. And while watching this, after I finished watching it, I sat down to say a prayer, and that demon tried to latch to me. That demon yelled in my ear in Kevin Gates' voice, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what had just happened to me through watching a video. And I prayed through it, and as I was praying, Jesus was casting down lightning to destroy that demon. But it was just crazy that you know, the devil is using these rappers, the devil's using the culture, the music, the young people, to celebrities to do his work, and so many are being deceived, so many good people are being deceived and are living these wicked lifestyles due to this. And we just have to open our eyes. And I'm so thankful that revival is like really getting pushed right now through a lot of great pastors like Mike Cigarelli, Isaiah Salvador, Vlad, I can't think of his last name, but he's amazing pastor, Alexander Pagani, Jennifer, man, I can't think of her last name. I love her so much, though. She's so amazing. But there's a lot of great people that are Mark Driscoll, you know, who's from my state of Arizona, who has a church out there that I actually got to go see. Great church. And I think that's going to be the church that we kind of, just because it's the closest one to us, that's, you know, from the small town that I live in. It's probably going to be the church that we try to hit up on Saturdays. Another great church in Arizona, in Phoenix, which I no longer live in Phoenix, but I live about, you know, 50 miles southeast of there, but Fresh Start Church is a very great Holy Spirit filled church, and I got the chance to go hang out over there for one of their events that they do every single month, and it's just amazing. It was amazing, and that's something that I look forward to every month to go be a part of. Even though it's, you know, it's 100 miles drive, you know, round trip, a little bit over 100 miles, it's so worth it to me and my family, because we just love being filled with the Holy Spirit. We love being spiritually fed. We love hearing the Word of God from a lot of great pastors, and we love reading. And you know, this year we dove in deep into the Bible, and we've got through a whole lot of books. We didn't finish the Bible, but you know, we're deep in the Bible, where it's, you know, we finished a lot of books in there, and we're just continuously learning. And you know, we figured out how to get our kids involved and walk this walk with us. And so they got to see the mommy and daddy doing what they got to do to inherit the kingdom and pass that same mentality down to them, so that they can pass it down to their kids. And like I said, the biggest thing we learned is how to break these chains, these generational curses, and start living different and being obedient to the Lord. And so, you know, that's kind of pretty much the recap of my first year walking with Jesus. And it's just, you know, a lot has happened this year that has got us to this point. And it's just like, man, I know where I came from. I know where God pulled me out of. He pulled me out of the pits, and I don't ever want to go back to that lifestyle. I don't ever want to go back. Even though a lot of people think that lifestyle is where it's at, I'm telling you, when you're living without Christ, you're just broke. You're a broken person, and I really want to pray for you, because when you have Christ, the peace that I have, that I've never felt before, the love that I have that I've never felt before, is like no other. You know, my marriage got restored through Jesus Christ. My kids, my relationship with my babies, my young ones, got restored through Jesus Christ. And the way Jesus moves in my life, like he shows me every day, like, how faithful he is to us. Even when we don't deserve it, he's so faithful. And I'm just so thankful for my Lord and Savior. I don't ever want to go back to the secular place that I called earth. I don't ever want to go to that secular place that I called my flesh. And I just want to live. I just want to live for Christ to the fullest, and represent him in the way that he needs to be represented. Live, do his will the way that we were here and designed for, not designed for ourselves, not designed for the devil. We were here to design to do God's will here on earth as we will in heaven. And so we'll go ahead and leave it right there. I just want to pray for everybody listening to this podcast. I thank you all. I love you all. But all the glory goes to the Lord at the end of the day. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everybody that's tuning in to this, Lord. I just ask that you just touch their heart. You soften their heart, Lord. You draw them closer. If they're whatever they're dealing with, Lord, you show them that you got their back, just like you had my back, Lord, when I was walking in the wrong direction, on the wrong path, on the path to destruction. You came through and did things in my life when I didn't even have you, Lord. And I just ask that you give that same revelation to our listeners, Lord, to our viewers that are needing it, that have been walking on the wrong path, are still on the wrong path, But Lord, I ask that you show them and you reveal to them that you're still there with them, Lord. And when they're ready for you, you're going to be there ready for them. And you're going to lift them up, and you're going to rejoice with them in ways that are just amazing, Lord. Lord, I ask that you remove the scales off of everybody's eyes that are blind, that are living of this world and living for these idols that are not of you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just draw them in closer, Lord. You show them the way. You reveal to them through the Holy Spirit, through their dreams, through the Bible, or speaking directly through them, or sending them an angel, Lord, that will reveal the will of yours, Lord. I pray for you that you bless everybody listening to this podcast, Lord, with healing, with revival, with you in their eye, the speck in the apple in their eye, Lord, that just turns them to you, Lord, and brings them close to you. You draw them in closer, Lord, in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of our Father, I pray. Amen. Love you all. It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Stay tuned. Big things are happening, guys. Big things are happening. If you ain't following me on social media, go check me out. TikTok, Nasty Backpack. IG, Nasty Backpack. Twitter, Nasty Backpack. Haven't really been on there that much. I really don't know how to use it all that good. But I do post on there from time to time, especially the podcast. But I love all the love and support that you guys have been pouring in, and it's always right back at you guys. I love you all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody have a great night. Till next time, it's your boy Nasty Backpack. We out.